Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of May, recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, the highlights, and there aren't that many because most stock markets were closed, including in Asia. Where they were open, Japan, for instance, there were small declines. In Europe, most of the markets were closed. The UK was opened. A quiet day, closed unchanged. But the big news really came from Wall Street. And while we'd seen that classic case of that buy the rumor, sell the news on the rate cut, in other words, with Wall Street giving up a 100 point plus gain last night, investors liked what they saw, not surprisingly, at least in terms of the technical patterns, and propelled the U.S. markets to some pretty good gains in here today. The Dow was up 1.5%, 1.7% for the S&P. These are near the highs of the day. And the NASDAQ put on a whopping 2.81%, so leading the way once again, and transports are within, well, not quite testing. Well, they're certainly within sight of their all-time peaks. I think they're all-time peaks, but at any rate, last year's peak. I'll check that later. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds a bit steadier, but mixed, really. Actually, they were steadier, but then I see, looking at the screen, that the U.S. contracts weakened a bit as the U.S. stock market surged. But the big story here is that we had another burst of short covering for the U.S. dollar, propelling that higher. That's currently up 764 ticks to 73.27 on the U.S. dollar index. You might be more familiar with the euro. The euro is down to 154.60, and sterling down to 197.47. The commodity currencies are weaker in here today, largely because we've had a real rout in commodity prices. Big sell-offs in precious metals occurring today. Gold currently down $25. It has been down 30. That's maybe beginning to get interesting again, but a little more on that later. And that's pretty much it. The industrial metals were dragged down by that as well, but most commodity prices under real pressure in here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, certainly the commodity and stock market performances are related, one being the inverse mirror image of the other. Now, you know, we've had an absolutely classic situation here where as the financial panic was building last year, and the dollar was in fast retreat, that really was the waving of the entry sign to commodity markets. And we had booming precious metals. We had even more spectacularly booming food prices. And those commodities just soared. And a fair number of us were able to do reasonably well in those markets. Fortunately, there's always something to play, isn't there? And well, stock markets went through a couple of panic cycles, three actually. Those were, of course, August last year, and more importantly, the real climactic ones in January and mid-March of this year. But what was often mentioned here is that, again, while commodities were the only game in town, that they would have real competition when confidence began to improve in stock markets. And following that successful test of the lows for so many indices, including those of Wall Street in mid-March, confidence has gradually been improving. But meanwhile, the more dramatic story still was that commodity prices were accelerating upwards. And as everyone knows who's attended the chart seminar or anyone who's listened to our audios for a while and read the comment of the day for the last year or so will know that those big accelerating trends, those parabolic in some instances, that those are always endings of an unspecified duration, but usually related to the extent of the prior advance. And we saw just huge moves upwards, as you know. And then the classic behavioral clues: when an asset class that nobody's interested in, that's commodities going back to the beginning of this decade, is a front page news item, and we're hearing all about food riots and people starving and there's no rice anymore anywhere kind of stuff, and the broadsheets are featuring this story as well as the page three girls, then you know that it's already priced in, and it's probably over. So the good news in terms of equity market sentiment is that these commodity prices have fallen back very, very swiftly, and that's very important psychologically, because all the talk has been of commodity price inflation recently. And central banks have been very, very concerned about that. Now, this doesn't mean that the food crisis is over by any means, because the warehouses are mostly empty. Remember those vast, cavernous warehouses that were filled to overflowing with grains in Europe and the United States, Canada, probably parts of Asia as well for so many years. Well, they're mostly empty. And while countries will be doing everything possible to increase food production, and they will, we still have the vagaries of whether it'll take, and it would take even under ideal growing conditions, which we never get for very long, it would take years to replenish those reserves. So these things will bounce around for a while, but suffice it to say, is, and I think we've really emphasized this point in recent weeks, we've seen important peaks in these agricultural commodities. Oil, I'd be less certain of, although we've said that this 120-125 region was a psychological barrier here. And we're also getting dollar short covering, which is helping to weaken these dollar-priced commodities somewhat. And so the most crowded and most popular trade, which is certainly well and truly boiled over, most popular trade recently, is the riskiest, and the most attractive one is the one that people fear the most, and that's global stock markets. And thus it always was. You go back and you look at the bottom of any stock market cycle, and there are always Armageddon and worst in history types of forecasts that that we hear. And when the perception of risk is highest, it's usually lowest. And one of the reasons why the perception of risk is high is because people have raised a fair amount of cash. Okay. So I think I wouldn't be surprised to see today's Wall Street close lead to some fairly strong action in Asia tomorrow, particularly on the, or certainly on the opening. But China's important. The Wall Street leash effect is certainly positive today, pulling higher, but excuse me. I've mentioned the growing importance of the China leash effect, which had been so negative until very recently, and it's been really quite positive with last week's big upside weekly key reversal. and some follow-through here this week. China was closed today. But if China rallies again tomorrow, that would be really quite positive for the region generally, and with that sentiment spilling over into Europe. So interesting. I have been, as you have probably seen, I've been leveraging up my equity positions here overall. That's not for everyone to do. I do that in my trading account, but it's the equivalent of me just putting cash to work, except I like to keep some cash as a just-in-case fund, preferably in a high-yielding or appreciating currency. Okay, what else to mention here? This dollar short covering, there's room for this to continue here for a bit longer, and this is one that I would just play straight off the charts. I think that short covering is the main factor, but with these big Forex desks, they're either long or they're short the dollar for the most part, and so therefore you tend to get a little bit of a double whammy when the currency is really quite overstretched on the downside, and therefore you get the short covering, and then that triggers the signals for the long buying, and then it becomes vulnerable once again, and that will probably coincide with the bottom in precious metals, which I've said would take a look at the lower $800 region if using gold as the benchmark price, and we've seen a low. I'm just looking for that on the screen. We've seen a low here today of 847.93, and usually after these a big down day like this, you get a little bit of relief rally, but I still think that there's short-term risk to the downside in these precious metals, and then that will make them quite interesting once again, although they may well range in a convalescence period for a while. That's been the normal pattern because this is an unfavorable period seasonally for precious metals. Actually, that would suit us, wouldn't it, if they stayed depressed for a while and then you get back into the late summer, early autumn, and when they begin to move back into a more favorable period seasonally, it would suit us if we saw lower prices, or many of us at any rate, and ranging support building prior to another upward upward move. So, what else to mention here? Industrial metals. Copper got clipped in here today, closed off the lows, got down to 366, and I wouldn't want to see it below the 350 level as one who has a small copper position. Then it bounced back up a bit, but still closed well down on the day at 370, 370. But I say this today was a bit of panicky action here in commodities. I don't think we'll see that repeated again tomorrow, but the correction, as I say, will probably continue, but more often than not at a somewhat slower rate. So, watch out for further weakness in those commodity prices, and look for additional gains in global stock markets. And I think I'll end on that note and just say all the best to all of you.